And without further ado, this has been, I don't know how long it's been since we've mixed with these boys, but since everybody seems to be at a music festival this weekend, Danny, Davey.
What?
This is crazy.
What the hell? What was that?
And so it begins.
Yes. Hey, T-Box, what's going on?
Stop. Just stop.
2 hours.
Hey, T-Box, what's up?
There you go.
What is it? I got to find the middle ground. Has it been like 8 years since we mixed?
No. Has it been that long?
Pretty close.
Well, we've been off the air for 2 years, and then
I think
mixes were banned for the 6 years before that.
I think you're wrong.
This is true.
Can't argue with that.
True.
It's true.
So is this going to be a 2-hour Chris Cornell eulogy or what?
No. I mean, we'll talk about it, I guess. I don't know.
We can.
I haven't seen Danny in
2 years?
18 months.
No, it's been like a month, right?
Probably.
So
we have no idea what we're going to talk about.
No, we literally walked in here, 90 seconds ago?
Yes.
And caught up on the last 6 months of our lives in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied that I don't need to really learn anything further from what's been going on with Davey.
Yeah, we're caught up.
Yep.
Dave, you miss being on air?
That's show prep right there.
You miss this Saturday gig?
You miss this job?
I miss it when I want to miss it. But I don't miss the commitment, the responsibility of having to do it every week.
Yeah, I mean, your kids have to be at that age now where they've got things to do all day Saturday.
You got another kid?
Well, no. I had stepkids.
Oh.
You had them.
Thanks for knowing
so
that.
A lot has changed in 2 years.
I think that happened before the show went off the air.
Yeah,
yes, I'm twice divorced, Craig. I'm twice divorced, okay?
Well, I didn't know that either because we haven't mixed for 6 years.
I think you're doing great, Dave.
But yeah, my daughter.
You get together well.
My daughter's 7. And so, yeah, she plays soccer. And so it was nice to be able to go to soccer games, to not have to work with babysitters on the weekend and all that garbage.
He just did the Soroy's contract.
Yeah.
Show up once a year. Once every 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're not here today, right?
Yeah.
Why do they bother? Seriously.
Because it makes them famous.
Yeah, but
it gets you chicks. That's why Dave Lane's on today.
I wonder if that's a cash deal. Because Mike's on all week.
How about
that? Cash. That's his one time to speak to the masses, I guess.
Yeah.
To plug his business.
Plug his business.
Who's going to be on?
Just like the T-Box.
There you go.
IdealGolfer.com.
That's right.
Who's going to be on from noon to 2 today?
Myself and
Country
Ty
Force.
Walker.
Yeah. Oh, Country Force.
Yeah, there you go.
We get to mix with Country Force.
Live from Kemp, Texas. And if you're wondering how I'm going to manage to make it from here to Kemp, Texas in 15 minutes, I'm not. I'm going to have to record one of my tickers.
I don't even know where that is.
Ticker on the road.
See, you didn't have to tell us that.
It's down by Gun Barrel City.
Oh, so like Maybank and all that?
Yep. Yeah, it's down by Cedar Creek.
Cedar Creek Lake.
Yep. And golf course, a country club out there.
Lake. Always plugging that guy.
Lake people. Gets back to golf.
You're going
to
be around lake people.
Maybe somebody will invite me out on their boat. Feed me a whole bunch of beers.
I'm actually kind of intrigued because it's lakefront property for $15,000. And I think it said 2-acre lakefront property for $15,000. Intrigued.
Is it upstream from Cedar Creek Lake?
Good question.
Did they just make a lake?
I don't know, they hire
a bunch of beavers.
Google
and
it. What does
build
lake,
a dam?
Lakefront property cost normally, Craig? I have no idea.
I would think not $15,000.
Well, maybe that's for like a tiny lot.
No, they say like
that's an entry level lake
like 6 acres or something.
Well, yeah, it's minimum 2 acres. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty big.
I mean, I have a lakefront lot that I paid way more for that I can't get rid of now, but
oops.
Bad investment, coach.
Yeah,
I'll give you $15,000 for it, Craig.
Boy, what
get out, Craig. Get out now. Take it.
I take that.
Call Coop and have him hook you up with the timeshare diarrhea fund.
What?
Don't think that's what it's called.
Or maybe call Renter's Warehouse. You can rent your lake house.
Right, yeah. Rent it as a campsite.
Yeah.
No, Coop does the spots for some timeshare liquidation thing.
Is that what led you to diarrhea? The word liquidation and diarrhea got gross. Confused?
Yes, because diarrhea is liquidation of your food.
The great equalizer. Of business.
God, we'll never be back out of here again.
Where are you guys? Park Place? You at Cars and Coffee? Is that thing still happening?
Not Park Place.
Since I got canned from...
We're Park Place. Park there. Place Motor Cars in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's right, the Mercedes road. Dealership, right?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Man. Are they running any good deals out there?
Yeah, you want something?
Yeah, get an E-Class for $519 a month.
You know what? I'm gonna buy an E-Class and then I'm gonna park it at my lakefront lot that I just bought for $15,000.
Perfect.
That's how I'm gonna spend my weekend.
I like it.
Do you think I can negotiate that payment to under $500 a month?
I bet if you had the T-Box negotiate for you, we could work that out.
It just wouldn't have wheels, right?
Well, I mean, there's some caveats optional. To that.
I would imagine if we talked
steering wheel optional,
yeah. We'd have to we would just have to sell it as the value of Danny driving one of your cars.
Yeah,
because that really worked out when I was previously with Park Place.
Yeah, how's that going?
I don't work with them anymore.
What do you drive now? Are you back in your...
I'm in a Dodge Charger. It was a Duster, and it was a Plymouth, Mr. Man. No, I've still got the old Volvo that I bought from them.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
Little hatchback?
Yeah, my little C30.
There you go. That's good stuff.
It's got 60,000 miles on it.
It's pretty light.
Yeah, for an 11, it's good, right?
Yeah. We can probably get you out of that.
Where do you drive?
That's nowhere.
Like no miles at all.
I drive from house to work.
To bar.
And I Uber everywhere now.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so
you
there's no miles.
Still rocking the Vespa?
I never had one.
Oh. I thought everybody downtown lives down there has a Vespa.
I don't live downtown, bro.
That's Cash. Cash has the scooter.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Cash is so urban.
He is.
And contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And contemporary, yeah.
All right, so give us one highlight for this. What we do
I think
now.
We just got it.
We have directives of what we should be doing in our mixes.
We just blasted our load for everything that we had for the next hours and the first three minutes.
I made the diarrhea joke, and now we're done.
Wow.
That's it.
I'm done.
Okay, I'll tease something. Coming up next.
That's a big fill.
I've been fired.
Oh, no.
What?
Yep. Stay tuned.
Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket, wants you to know that red meat isn't bad for you. Now, blue-green meat, that's bad for you.
I look alive, bitches. It's showtime.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo spot.
That's right. Look alive, bitches. It's showtime.
Girl.
Never thought you'd hear this again, but here we are. The orphanage for a one Saturday morning engagement. Thanks to Hangout Fest.
Yeah. The weekend guys get to go off to Florida and do heroin for 3 days, and you get us as fill-ins. And we've been here.
Orphanage.
We've been here a little over 13 minutes, and that's all it took to get a scathing text from our boss. We're already in trouble. We don't even do this show anymore.
It's like we never left.
I know.
Why?
And P1's, I don't know anything other than... Justin is not feeling well. Otherwise, he would be here. So hold a good thought for Justin. Get well soon, buddy. Machine can go to hell. He's part of the Soroy traveling crew.
Screw
to hang
him.
Out.
Everybody went to Hangout Fest.
And Corby went, right?
Oh, yes, of course. But Corby, see, they left a day earlier, the weekend fellas and Jake and TC and all them. And they rented an RV and actually drove. And I think it's almost 24 hours to get there.
No, it's like 17 because I've done it.
I think the total trip as far as like stopping and resting.
Oh,
all that,
gotcha.
It accounted for 24 hours of their time from the time they left here to get there. And they're all staying, there's like 10 of them in a three-bedroom condo, whereas Corby is staying in some beachfront high-rise property. And
VIP wristband.
Flew first class to get there.
Private jet.
Mm-hmm. Where the rest of the guys, you know, drove United.
Gulf Shores is a nice place, though.
I've never spent any time there.
It's like the crown jewel of the redneck Riviera.
So are they actually in the Panhandle, or are they in Mississippi?
No, it's in Alabama.
Alabama.
It's like maybe like a 5 or 10 minute drive to the east from Gulf Shores is there's a giant bar called Florabama. It's right on the border.
So it's right where those two Panhandle things kind of connect.
Right.
I gotcha.
It's where the tip of Alabama and the tip of Florida snoodle.
Yes.
They just push them together.
Snoodle. That's a sniglet. So what the hell have you been doing?
I haven't seen
you in like 2 months.
I know. To pay off our tees, nothing. I am officially unemployed.
You're
everywhere.
You're an unrestricted free agent.
I am an unrestricted free agent. It was, it was maybe 6 months ago that I got a notification from Jeff, the Catman Catlin, that I was no longer on the ticket payroll, that my contributions were so infrequent that I guess I was dropped from payroll, and now I'm just a contract employee.
Really? How do they pay you then?
I have no idea, because I don't think I've gotten paid since the last time I was on. I filled in on the Saroy's. I don't think I ever saw that. So I guess I'm doing this for free.
I mean, you've done this. We broke up, a little over 2 years ago?
Yes.
And would you say you've done it?
It was an amicable breakup.
Yeah,
I mean, both parties understood that it was time to be apart.
We're still raising the children together.
Yes, we're focused on being good co-parents.
Yes, it was an amenable divorce, and everything's fine now. But since that time, what would you say you filled in for? Maybe 15, 20 times or less?
In 2 years?
Yeah.
Probably less. I mean, I think I've done a couple of weekday spots with Radigan, and then a couple of, you know, a handful of Saroy shows, but yeah, less than 10 in 2 years.
So your contributions were so infrequent that Cat took you off of the Cumulus payroll.
I don't think it was his decision. I think it's just if there's so much inactivity that accounting just drops you. So yes, so I am no longer a ticket employee, and then as of yesterday.
Officially yesterday, because I saw rumblings of this for maybe about a week.
Well, actually, it's not official until June 1st, but I'm burning my remaining vacation days. But yes, I have been doo-doo canned from my day job.
You are the unfortunate victim of a layoff.
Yes, downsizing. I've been Trump-sized.
So you had been was with an advertising agency, correct?
Yes.
And you'd been with this particular company for quite some time.
Almost 11 and a half years.
Okay. And you came from another ad agency.
Yeah,
it was my
third agency job after my failures at the ticket. Then I got into advertising.
So how did this come down? What was their reasoning, and did you get a fat, juicy severance package? That's what I want to know.
Right? They were very kind. The advertising industry is very tumultuous to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncommon for agencies to have clients more than 3 or 4 years. That's just very cyclical that, you know, anytime a business, you know, a company hires a new CMO, you know, chief marketing officer,
mm-hmm.
they'll want to put their own stamp on things and change the agency. Or if, you know, the sales, you know, are down 2 quarters in a row, well, let's change the agency. Let's change our campaign.
It's very knee-jerky.
Yeah, it's extremely knee-jerky. And so, and most contracts are, you know, 2 or 3 years.
So it's a wonder when you see big companies that have a campaign with some element of longevity, for example, like the two Sonic guys that are always sitting in their car busting right. each other's balls. And that's been going on now for what seems like a decade.
Well, it went away and they brought it back.
That's rare.
Yeah. Well, I think the prime example is the Richards Group with the Chick-fil-A cows. I mean, that
was their concept.
Yeah. And maybe 6 months or a year ago, I don't know if you remember, they started doing a different campaign because the Chick-fil-A hired a different agency to do, you know, they had like Thomas Edison and Amelia Earhart.
See, I don't even remember that.
Yeah. I mean, they were bad. They were not good. But it was a different agency because they were like, oh, we, you know, we're tired of the cows. But I think they're bringing them back.
I mean, guess if you find a niche that works, then but you stick with it. But man,
that Chick-fil-A campaign, it's been 15 or 20 years of the cows.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, so that's a rare thing. So anyway.
Point being, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, point being, it's not uncommon. And so I worked on one big account for a long time, and then I worked on a new business pitch like 3-4 years ago, and we won that account,
mm-hmm.
and that was a big account. And I asked if I could stay on that business because I was kind of bored working on what I was working on before. And so I worked on that business, and then last summer, again, the corporation had a reorg and they brought in a new CMO and they decided that they wanted a new agency, even though we were doing great and all of our direct clients were happy. And so ever since then, I've just kind of been floating. I've been working on, you know, this team and working on new business and just basically trying to scare up work. And it finally got to the point where they were like, we can't justify your salary anymore. They have billing. They have to allocate your hours. And I had so much unbillable time.
So let me ask you this, because I'm, you know, fairly uneducated in general, but especially in this field. So you've got all these different groups working on certain projects. How were you not able to find a home in one of these groups to retain your employment?
Well, I mean, when you lose one big account and then you lose another big account 6 months later,
are you kind of a pariah?
No, no. But I didn't have anything to do with the second loss.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like I have the anti-Midas touch. Although I guess I do.
You're like the tiki during the Brady Bunch when they went
right,
to Hawaii.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I Charlie Browned and made us lose two accounts. And so there's so many extra people. You have too many bodies and not enough work. And a lot of people left of their own volition. They saw the writing on the wall, but, you know, I'm
just lingered.
I'm lazy. I don't like change. So I was like, well, I'm going to stick it out, because they told me, hey, if it comes to this, we hope it doesn't, but that we'll give you severance. We'll give you plenty of notice. So I was like, well, I'll just hang on to the bitter end. And so that's what happened. But yeah, whenever you, you know, are staffed up for business and then you lose that business, you know, it doesn't matter how much stuff there is to do. You still don't have enough stuff to do for all the people that suddenly don't have stuff to do.
Right.
That makes sense.
Well, it's just basic economics at that point.
Yeah.
Are you sad? I mean, I guess if you're anywhere for 11 years.
You know what? It's weird because
departing's got to be somewhat, you know, a melancholy feeling, right?
It's weird. I felt very isolated at the end. I was very much a man on an island.
You were a lame duck copywriter.
Yes, I was. Because the team that I was on like 5 years ago, I still know a lot of those people, and they were all sad to see me go. But, you know, I hadn't really worked directly with them very much over the last 5 years. And then the other team that I was on, that of the business that we lost, most of those people left the agency. You know, they went to other agencies. They moved on. So nobody is still there. And then most of the stuff that I was working on before I got laid off was based out of Chicago. We have a Chicago office. And so I was the only or only one of two people in the Dallas office that worked on all this stuff from the Chicago office. So everything was like via phone and email. So
are you going to move to Chicago?
No. So at the end, it was just like I didn't feel like I had a very close working relationship with anyone in person.
And how long did that last? Like a few weeks? Or
no, that was like a whole year.
Did people look at you funny, like the stinky kid at school?
Yeah.
They did?
Well, I'm sure most of the people
this guy doing here?
Yeah, like...
grab a mop and a broom.
I'm sure that when I sent out the all-agency farewell email, they were like, oh, I thought that guy was fired a long time ago.
Was it like an Office Space with that one guy? They just kept moving him until he was in the basement?
The guy with the red stapler?
Yeah.
Yes. So,
but you know what? He ended up winning, and maybe you'll end up winning.
Why? Because the building burned down?
I just remember the final scene is him sitting on a beach, sipping umbrella drinks.
Oh, because he found the account, right? Somehow?
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember how...
I don't retain information.
They were embezzling money, like a fraction of a cent.
That's right. Yeah. And he found the money.
Yeah, somehow he found the money. But anyway, no, I have no hard feelings. I love my company, and I love everybody there. And like I was telling you off the air, it's one of those things, and maybe we can talk about this later. It's one of those things where I was ready for a change anyway.
Yeah.
But I was too stagnant to do anything about it. I was unmotivated to do anything. But now it's like, oh, well, now you have to think about your future. You have to do something. And so I'm excited to figure out what that is. I have no idea what that is. But I do feel like I am squarely right smack in the middle of a midlife crisis.
This would be your fourth midlife crisis, at least.
Are you so you're counting both my divorces?
And then just the random ones that happen intermittently throughout the years.
Okay. Yeah, you know what?
I think you're kind of over the midlife crisis.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, first of all, midlife crisis always involves a big life-changing decision, a decision in appearance, maybe a new car. I just don't see that happening for you.
I did buy a new car.
Yeah, but it's probably not something dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
You bought a dumb car?
It's overkill. I don't need it.
Was it brand new?
No, it's a 15.
Did you get a Honda Prelude?
No, I didn't.
What'd you get?
I got a Tahoe.
Okay, well, you got to have the Tahoe to drive kids around to soccer practice.
Yeah, one kid.
Well, I mean, sure, she's got friends, right?
I don't know. The friends aren't allowed to hang out around me.
Well, that court order is still in effect.
Yeah. Well, according to...
Well, congratulations on your Tahoe.
I know, thank you. It'll be repoed next week.
Boy, isn't that the case.
I know. Well, you know what? I have, by my math, I have 7 years before it's all over for me.
Meaning what? You're going to
die.
Are you going to snake the belt?
Yes. I am going to super unknown myself.
Dude.
We'll talk about it next.
Too soon.
Oh, such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder.
Good morning, P1s. It's 10:34 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. The ticket. You have the orphanage. Davey and Danny back from the dead. We are here for one Saturday and one Saturday only, thanks to Hangout Fest.
And we found out that this was, I knew that I was going to be doing this for quite some time,
because
I volunteered to work a little bit while those cats are out of town.
Right. Yes, you pulled a double yesterday.
And I will on Monday, too. But I didn't know that I was going to be doing this with you until about 3 o'clock, or about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Because Justin was still up in the air. He'd been kind of sick for the last few days.
He's got AIDS.
And
he got AIDS in his stump.
He has stump AIDS. But I think he's on the mend, but he's just not quite well enough to make it back. And then Kat told me yesterday, it's like, yep, Davey's going to be there tomorrow. And I thought that's pretty neat.
It is pretty neat. So, yes, I'm glad to be here. Glad awesome. To be back. And I was overwhelmed.
After
because
you made the announcement, because you put it out on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
My God, the
outpouring.
The love.
So
that's
much.
Why I wanted to play uplifting, feel-good return music today.
Yes. So, yeah, we even though...
Because I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Yes. So even though I'm in the midst of a midlife crisis and I just lost my job, and feel free to email me or DM me at Old Waver on Twitter and offer me
employment.
I'm available for any freelance writing. Like if you need to write a letter to your grandma and you don't want to do it, I'll do it for you.
Oh,
bye.
Maybe a nice breakup letter to
yes.
your girlfriend or wife.
Yes. But yes,
I'll do that for you.
In light of the fact that I have lost my job, in light of the fact that Chris Cornell is dead, this is still a joyous Saturday morning because we are all back together in our orphanage treehouse. So welcome.
It's better to find the silver lining. I think you and I have changed in the last couple of years. We used to be so sad and bitter and negative when we'd come in here.
Yeah.
And now look at us.
I think when you get older, you go one of two ways. Either you get totally embittered by the world and you turn into a crabby old person, or you change your perspective and you see the kind of the temporal nature of the world and the beauty, and you want to soak it all in and you want to focus on the positive and just be happy to be alive for as long as you're here.
Because in either case, the reason that you're at that fork in the road is because you see the Grim Reaper drawing closer every day.
Yeah.
So if you pick the first path, it's a very nihilistic approach to let's just get this over with and I'm going to be a Rick with a P to everybody. Or you try to make the most of it. And I think that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
From 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM.
I already did that.
The ticket.
You know, whenever you get into your 40s, because what, you're 46?
49.
What? Are you kidding me?
No.
I didn't know you were that much older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm almost 45?
Were you born?
'72.
You're almost 45.
I always forget. I can't remember if I've already turned an age or if that's the age I'm going to turn. So yes, I guess I'm 44 now. I'll be 45 next month. And so once you get into your 40s, especially your mid 40s, and your late 40s, you're pushing 50.
Yeah. But let me say something real quick to the ladies. Don't let the number fool you, because we look freaking amazing.
It still works.
Like you
really
wouldn't believe.
Good.
You would not believe.
Better than before.
Firm, strong.
So much stamina now.
Oh, pulsating.
I've watched so much porn, I'm dead inside.
Just wanted to make that public service announcement to anybody who might be wondering.
Yeah, but you do start doing the math.
Yeah, you do.
Like, you're like, okay, well, I guess, you know, what's the typical lifespan for an American male now? Is it like 75?
It's I think it's gotten better. It's upper 70s now.
So, but that, you know, that's the average.
Which back at the turn of the other century, good God, it was like 42.
Right. I think it was lower than that.
It was ridiculous.
But
can you imagine
That we would be dead by now?
Well, you graduate high school, and at that point, realistically, your life is half over.
Right, yeah, you have your midlife crisis when you're 21.
The fact that my grandparents lived to be in their 90s was the exception.
My point is that you start doing the math. Okay, well, if I make it to 75, that means I have 30 years left.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I eat fried cheese every day, so I'm probably going to not make it to 60.
You live off Bennigan's cheese sticks. That is your sustenance.
Yeah. I just get I go to Sam's and I get the bag of frozen TGI Fridays appetizers.
You know, you could go there in person. It's endless. Endless apps, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Every day I eat at Applebee's for lunch and TGI Fridays for dinner.
You wash it all down with some giant sugary alcoholic blue drink.
Right.
Right?
I you know, part of my midlife crisis.
You mainline tune-ups for the filling station.
Part of my midlife crisis, I have developed a taste for Four Loko.
Shut up. You have not.
I'm serious. Sometimes
they still make that.
Yo no tengo. Yes.
I thought they took that off the market because it made people eat other people's faces.
I don't know. But yeah, you just, you know, it comes in those tall boy cans and it's like 15% alcohol and you just pour it over ice and you sip on it while you're watching the Rangers and it feels so good.
Yeah, but isn't it crammed full of amphetamines,
I know, just so bad for your heart? No, I think they took the crack out of it. It's just alcohol now.
That's so weird. What a strange midlife crisis decision.
I know.
Buy a Corvette.
I'm insane. I am insane.
Wait, are Four Loko sponsors?
Oh, God, no.
We shouldn't talk about them.
No, yeah, we shouldn't talk about them anyway. But, yeah, so you just start doing the math, and it is a reality check when one of the icons of your generation passes away unexpectedly. And last year there were so many.
Oh my God.
With, you know,
We've been pretty good this year, right?
With Prince, obviously, and I can't remember who else.
All of them. Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie.
Merle Haggard.
Yeah, last year was a devastating year for losing especially people in the music industry. And then I can't believe, but every morning I wake up and I look at my phone, you know, I refresh my feeds, and I was floored with the Chris Cornell news.
Yeah, I found out about it pretty much when it happened. And I texted Corby. It was like 4 a.m. And I couldn't believe it either. I actually had to refresh.
You hadn't been to bed yet.
Off and on. I actually had to refresh a couple of times because there were only a couple of news sources reporting it. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't fake news.
Right.
You are fake news.
So every once in a while, you get one of those Twitter death hoaxes.
Yeah, yeah. So, it turned out to be the case. But at that time, there was no cause of death. It was just dude was found in his hotel room, 52 years old, had just played a concert a couple hours prior.
Right. The first thing you think is maybe overdose. You know, he's had some drug problems, or maybe just random heart attack, stroke.
That's what I was thinking, because number one, I was not thinking suicide nor overdose, because I had thought that that was part of his past. I thought that the hard heroin drug thing was something that he was on the positive side of and kind of left that behind and done all the rehab and gone through all the treatment and everything.
Was he professed to be, like, publicly clean?
I believe so.
Sober for a long time?
I believe so, yes. And then the random, and then the suicide never even crossed my mind, just because I always felt like Cornell was always seemed like a positive guy. But then, as it comes out later, he ended up hanging himself with a workout belt or whatever, the exercise band.
He didn't snake the belt.
No, he snaked the band. And apparently he had maybe taken a couple more extra pills of his prescription anti-anxiety medicine and had an unusual phone call with his wife. And the next thing you know, the dude's dead.
Yeah, she said that when they spoke that he seemed out of character and he was slurring his words. And he said that he had taken a couple extra of Ativan. Is that what he took?
Correct.
Are they a sponsor? Are they? No. Okay. So yeah, she was concerned. They did a wellness check on him, and they find him on the floor, and they They pronounced him dead at the scene, did they not?
I think it took 30 minutes. They had to have the official ME or doctor show up to make that official announcement, but he was completely unresponsive and bleeding out of his mouth.
Ugh.
when his bodyguard showed up and had broke down two doors to get to him.
So now the thing is that the family, and it very much reminded me of the saga that you went through with Carter.
Right.
Because Carter, when he died under his bizarre circumstances, there was a link to a prescription drug that maybe had put him into a frenzied mental state that was completely out of character. And so that's what his wife and family are saying now, that he was not of his right mind, that the medication and the overdose or excess of medication that he had taken, obviously he's not taking it as prescribed.
Right.
But the extra dose that he took is what influenced him to make that ultimate decision.
Look, the responsibility ultimately lies at the feet. I mean, by and large, of the people that take these medications and don't take them as prescribed. There's certain people that probably take them as prescribed and have similar murderous, suicidal, depressive thoughts that somehow override their natural system and influence them to do things they wouldn't otherwise. And we don't know everything there is to know about Big Pharma and these drugs, and us as a society and as humans are often human guinea pigs in these cases, and you don't find out about what the effects are of these drugs until you have a sample size that takes several years, often decades, to figure out. And then by that time,
well, and so often when
it's cheaper to pay off the lawsuits than it is to not sell the drugs.
Well, and
it's a numbers game, you know that.
And whenever you see a pharmaceutical commercial, that's almost always in the disclaimers.
Oh, these commercials.
You know, please see your doctor if you have suicidal thoughts or actions.
Think about you used to work in advertising. You know how expensive commercials are to be on television, and we see these spots during football games on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know how expensive that airtime is, and more often than not, these spots are 60 to 90 seconds long. Because they have to spend 2/3 of the ad time to explain all the bad crap that can happen to you if you eat their pills.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And
so they've got to be making money hand over fist, not only to afford the lawsuits that stem from the incidents that happen when people take this stuff, but also to pay, you know, 2 to 3 times the normal rate for advertising because they have to include all the disclaimers.
Yeah, and sometimes it's on the doctor, the prescribing doctor, who just refills the script and doesn't really talk through the symptoms with, the patient, doesn't appropriately follow up and really see how they're doing and assess the situation. I mean, some doctors are great and they really do.
Sure.
Keep tabs on their patients and make sure that they have the right, ratio of medications and dosages and stuff.
But for the most part, they hand you a pamphlet that indemnifies them of any responsibility because you signed the thing and saying you read it. It's like clicking the accept on your iTunes agreement,
right,
when you update that.
And then
nobody reads that stuff.
And then, like we said earlier, sometimes it's on the patient who is like, well, one makes me feel good. I bet 3 would make me feel great.
Exactly. And that's why, gosh, you know,
it's sad and scary.
It is sad and scary. And it's gotten to the point where I won't even take a Tylenol for a headache or an acetaminophen for a headache because I just don't like the idea of having something like that in my body. I don't know. I'm so gun shy.
Sometimes I feel weird. Sometimes I feel weird because
I know people that will pop an Advil when they're hammered to fend off the headache for the next day. I'm like, what are you doing? That is so bad for you.
Like there are some days because I do take a prescription antidepressant. If you've heard the beginning of the show, you probably understand why.
Understood.
And So there are days where I'll take that. I'll take an Advil because I have a headache. I'll take antihistamine because I have a bad allergy day. You know, maybe I will take another supplement or something. And every once in a while, I'll think about, I wonder, are these all supposed to be taken together?
Yeah, exactly. And always,
am I doing irreparable harm to my liver right now?
Or your kidneys, or God knows what.
But then I'm like, well, you know, I've had a decent run. Doesn't matter.
I've always wondered, because I live with all that stuff. I'll live with knee pain or being stopped up all the time because I have allergies.
You'll fight through it.
I'll fight through it.
You're a pioneer man.
Well, I'm sure that if there are pills out there that could probably make my life a lot better, that it could make me on a day-to-day basis feel better. There's just something about it. I'll do everything else, but there's something about pills.
If it grows from the ground, it's all right.
If there's something about pills that just freak me out, that I'd rather fight through, you know, the day-to-day maladies that come with being me than eat a pill.
All right, coming up next, let's move away.
But rest in peace,
yes.
Chris Cornell.
No. Let's move away from Big Pharma and the circumstances surrounding his death, and let's just talk about... Soundgarden's legacy.
Let's talk about the music,
and
man.
You wanted to because we have very similar yet very divergent musical pasts, and we want to find out our common Soundgarden ground next.
You heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how. I can promise you now. This love that I feel for you always will be. Well, you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Oh, baby, I'm gonna love you forever.
It's true.
Forever and ever, amen.
And only you, Dave.
Ow. As long as I am going to love you forever. really will.
Well, you know what? I'm going to live forever, so.
I won't.
Man, Twitter's so judgmental.
Why? What are they judging?
One guy says... We were talking about, or I was talking about how reluctant I am to take pills. And he says, yet you drink like fish and smoke with cigarette.
It's true. You're very selective about...
Don't judge me.
About how you're harming your body.
Mind your own business, Twitter.
By the way, you are at Bad Karate Movie. I am at Old Waver. We are...
Twitter friends.
We're at your disposal for Twitter conversation and job offers. But we want to spend the next few minutes talking about Soundgarden and their musical legacy.
Yes.
It's been...
When did you graduate? 92?
From high school?
Yeah.
90.
Okay, so you were out of high school. This wasn't like a high school thing, that whole Nirvana.
Grunge, no, that was squarely in college.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that. So for me, it was early 20s. The adult developmental stage of your musical life.
Right.
When maybe you kind of grow out of that, if you ever went through it, that kind of teen idiot phase where... You listen to anything, even though it's really, really bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, kids go through that where they'll, oh my God, I can't believe I used to listen to Backstreet Boys. And then they hit their 20s and they start kind of finding their own identity musically, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I have plenty of friends who hate grunge because they feel that grunge killed alternative rock. In that, you know, in the early 90s, the Edge at the time, you know, they would play the Sundays, they would play the Cocteau Twins, they would play the Smiths and Morrissey, and then grunge came along and just knocked all that stuff off the airwaves. And
I found those bands to be pretty symbiotic, though. I didn't find one to be much indifferent from the others. Even though one might be mellow, I felt like they were bands that were kind of doing their own thing and not following a trend, which what to me, the alternative scene of the late 80s, early 90s, and then the Seattle bands were what knocked off all of the Firehouse and Trickster,
the hair metal,
all that crap.
And grunge was very much it wasn't targeting wussy alt rock.
No, they were just doing their own thing, right?
But it was a response to the LA glam metal scene. It was, you know, let's just play rock and roll
and wear
we don't need to wear makeup and leather pants.
Even though they're one of the bands that kind of started all that was Mother Love Bone, and their singer was very, very glam, extremely glam.
So, it wasn't like they were trying to edge out other alternative acts, but it's just that radio programmers just glommed on, and it just became such a, such a trend that there were so many followers, so many Me Too grunge bands, from Silverchair in Australia. Yeah. I mean, just every corner of the globe, suddenly there were grunge bands. And
it's funny, I always thought that
became the format.
I always thought that Stone Temple Pilots were kind of a knockoff latecomer to that sound. And it's funny that, had it not been for their singers' addiction troubles, their career could still be going on, because they, man, hits for days.
Yes.
A real, real long productive career as a relevant band.
But
I thought of them as one of those kind of posers.
Yeah, so did I. And I was never...
At first.
I was never a huge grunge fan, but...
Did you like any of those bands that kind of came from that area during that time? I mean, you can kind of list them on one hand.
Yeah, I was never a Pearl Jam fan, and I never was really a Nirvana fan, but I did love early Soundgarden, and I did love Mudhoney.
Okay, my deal was I never was a Nirvana fan.
It's sacrilege to especially now in hindsight.
I can tell you, Dave, during that time, I probably... Maybe it was just because I was so beaten over the head and inundated with teen spirit that I'd never wanted to dip any further into their catalog. I thought I liked In Utero when that one came out. I was like, okay, this is good by comparison. But I never became like, I wasn't a Nirvana freak. I really liked 10. I loved Soundgarden. I thought Louder Than Love and Bad Motorfinger were incredible albums. I thought the first Screaming Trees album was really good. Never got too terribly into Mudhoney, but I loved Mark Arm's voice. But my jam was Facelift, the Alice in Chains debut. That to me,
yeah,
that was that combined everything. That had all of it.
And Alice in Chains were one of those bands that I wouldn't ever punch out on the radio. I would always listen to it, but I never owned an album of theirs. For whatever reason, I don't know
just
why.
Pure, that first record is absolute pure evil, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
Skip over Man in the Box and listen to the rest of that album, and it's terrifyingly good.
I still have a fraction of the CDs that I used to own, but I still have a good number.
Uh-huh.
That they just sit there on a shelf. I never use them. But I went to go look to see if I still had any Soundgarden, and I had long since purged my Soundgarden collection.
You took them to CD Source?
Yeah, I got 50 cents each for them.
Yeah.
Idiot!
But yeah, I was with you in that I was really into Louder Than Love, and I was really into Bad Motorfinger.
I kind of lost track after Bad Motorfinger.
Yeah,
was it Super Unknown?
Super Unknown.
It had some stuff on it, but that's when they turned to me into a radio band.
Well, that and an MTV band.
MTV band, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the charts in front of me, and their previous Bad Motorfinger topped out at number 39 on the US charts. It did go double platinum.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure that's just over the years.
Hell, maybe over the last 3 days.
But Super Unknown, you know, went all the way to number one, and it went 5 times platinum. So, that's the one that blew up.
To think that the Louder Than Love band, when I heard that album, the one before Super Unknown, I mean, to me, that was just like, who are these guys? Why are they making, what is this music that they're making? Why does this sound like the Black Sabbath's first album with Robert Plant singing on it, and it slowed down even more, you know?
Right, with somebody's like thumb on the edge of the record.
Yeah, totally. To think that, you know, in a matter of about 3 or 4 years, they went from that band to being MTV and commercial radio darlings and
right.
hit makers.
Like you look
unbelievable.
You look at the cover of their debut, Ultra Mega OK, and you've got Chris Cornell shirtless mm-hmm. with his hair down to his waist.
Just full-on headbang.
Yeah, just in full-on headbang, screaming into the microphone. And then, what was that? That was 88. So, yeah, you fast-forward 6 years. And
to the Black Hole Sun video.
And he's got his hair all cut, and he's wearing, like, dapper black clothes. They did undergo a total makeover, and I guess that they just lost me at that point. I hated Spoon Man. Oh my God. I hated that song.
Spoon Man,
but it is you know, when someone passes you know, in such an untimely, bizarre manner, it does shine a brighter spotlight onto their career and their legacy. And I've been really kind of shocked and amazed at the influence that Soundgarden had. You know, but before this past week. Yeah, I know I knew that they were a huge band, but I didn't know how much crossover appeal they had and how popular they were with so many other artists.
Yeah.
And the reputation that Chris Cornell has of being, you know, the rock vocalist of our generation, and, you know, just his virtuoso reputation among other artists. I was just shocked and, you know, kind of made me reassess and made me want to go back and listen to Bad Motor Finger on 11.
Boy, it makes I think I'm probably going to listen to Jesus Christ Pose on the way home.
Yeah, I love that song.
Great song. Rusty Cage. I mean, my God, Johnny Cash covered Rusty Cage. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and it's
pretty weird.
It's, you know, and when they announced the show at the Bomb Factory, I had a passing interest. And now in retrospect, man, it just it's so weird that people were so fired up for that show. I have so many friends on my Face Space timeline that were so ready for that show, and now they're just so heartbroken.
Well, that was supposed to be a week from yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just shocking and strange and sad as hell, but rest in peace.
You know,
Chris Cornell.
I agree.
Let everybody listen to Bad Motor Finger today.
And you didn't even bring up the fact that his career went far and beyond what Soundgarden
totally,
did.
Totally,
I mean,
Audioslave and his solo stuff.
I mean, all of that stuff was completely relevant to music.
Yeah, I mean, if you are into, you know, rock and roll, if you are into guitar rock.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, Audioslave was the ultimate super group.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't my cup of tea. I that was far past the point that Chris Cornell was on my radar.
Same.
But, yeah, I have a full understanding and appreciation for how huge that band was. And, yeah, we didn't even mention them. But, yeah, our wheelhouse is obviously late 80s, early 90s Soundgarden, and to me, that's the moment frozen in time that will stick with me when I think of Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Well, we did like 2 segments on it on Thursday, I guess it was Thursday, and it finally started sinking in when we had done those 2 segments, and when it was over with, I felt it, you know. I felt that loss a little bit, and I don't know the guy. I'm not friends with him, but I did. It was, you know, his music and his band's music was definitely a big part of my life for a few years. And something that I went to on a daily basis, man.
It affected me.
And it made me really, really sad. And I know that's, people might laugh. You know, you didn't even know the guy. Well, that's the thing about music. It connects you. It connects you with the artist, whether you know them or not. It's the same thing with radio. You know, you listen to radio, you don't know people that you're listening to, but you feel like you know them because you listen to them.
Right.
And you might feel a little bit, you know, a little bit of sadness if they're not around anymore.
For 2 years.
So, yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Anyway.
All right, coming up next, I want to tease ahead because
Is that your tease?
It is now.
Do it.
Okay, I do want to let everyone know that you need to text all your buddies, call all your friends. By popular demand at 11:30, we will do hints. But coming up next, we're going to scattershoot. We have a couple of housekeeping things. I went to a rock show last night. I wanted to touch on that. Danny wanted to touch on the fact that he has become a homeowner, and I am also a homeowner, at least for now, until I skip payments on my mortgage. And we also need to talk about a bizarre cure for constipation. Next. It's 11:19 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. The Ticket. This is a one-off reunion show of the Orphanage.
That's why we're in good moods, because we know we only have to do this once every 2 years.
We don't have to worry about filling 2 hours next week. We can just do it all today. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to all of you on the Twitter for all of your affirmation
and criticisms.
Again, Bad Karate Movie and Old Waver on Twitter. Feel free to give us content suggestions, because we're about to get to one here in a minute. Job offers.
Yes, Davey is an advertising professional.
I'm a copywriter by trade.
He writes copy.
And now I am unemployed, so please keep me from losing my house.
Please hire this man.
We were talking about the Soundgarden thing, and I just wanted to touch on, I went to a, you know, and you had mentioned just the fact that music is just such a primal thing. It connects you to the artists, and it's something that most of us need in our life. There's some people that could take or leave music, but I think most everyone has, you know, a thread of music that runs through their life, and it is a blessing, a positive part of their life. And I had an experience last night that I've never had before. And then I had a really positive musical experience. I had the two ends of the spectrum. I went to a show at the Granada last night, and God bless the Granada. Every time I go there, I think about how fortunate we are to have that venue in Dallas. We have so many good venues now.
Mm-hmm.
This is turning into such a good music town.
Not only to have that venue, but to have a historical old theater in the smack dab in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, it's great.
It's unbelievable. So much fun. Thing is still thriving.
So I went last night and saw, it was a twin bill, and the first band was a band called A Place to Bury Strangers. Very kind of a shoegazy version of Jesus and Mary Chain, I guess. I don't know. But I have several of their albums, and I've always been a big fan of theirs, and I was very interested in seeing them live. I was more excited to see them than the headliner. And I absolutely hated them.
Really?
They were so terrible live.
They just didn't care, or
no? I mean, they
translate.
It just didn't translate. I don't think they're very good players, first of all, and they're just a three piece, and the mix was just mud. There was no separation. It was just a wall of sound, not in a good way,
right?
And then they did this bizarre thing at the end of their set where the drummer left the stage, and they just played to a drum track, and then the guitarist and the bassist went out into the middle of the crowd and had like a, I don't know, they were standing on like milk crates or something, and they just, the they played the last song in the middle of the crowd, and everybody was like, where are they? What happened? This is bad. I mean, I still like their music, but I did not like seeing them live, and it was so disappointing.
Are you going to unsave their records on Spotify?
No. But then I had the opposite end of the spectrum, because the headliner was the Black Angels, who I am...
Black!
Yes, Norm.
Are they from Austin?
Yes, I believe okay. so. And so I am somewhat familiar with them. I think I have one of their albums in my iTunes, but I've never really spent that much time with them. Dude, I loved them.
I heard that was a great show. I had several friends that went and were posting wonderful things about them.
They were so good. They're very psychedelic. They're kind of a, I don't know, more
like
of...
Like Temples?
Yeah, kind
of... heavier, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like a cross between Temples and Tame Impala. They're kind of in that same wheelhouse. And they were just really, really good. I'm going to dive into their catalog and really spend some time, because they're my new favorite band. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you, Granada. Thank you, Black Angels. Not thank you so much, A Place to Bury Strangers, but I still love you. I don't think we have time for the other thing I teased, but we really need to get to this breaking news from Twitter.
This isn't something that I really have to deal with. I don't know if it's something that you deal with in your life, but there are some that suffer from this difficult gastrointestinal situation. We're talking about constipation. There are many remedies for constipation. You can increase your fiber. You can take Metamucil or an X-Lax, a little supplement to assist things.
Miralax?
Yes. You can eat a prune.
You can use a suppository.
Why not?
Or an enema.
Many, many things you can do to rectify, no pun intended,
the anus,
the effects of constipation. Here's one that I don't recommend, is sticking a 1.5-foot eel in your butt, because this man in China thought that that was the way to get rid of his constipation, and it damn near killed him, Dave. This comes to us from the dailymail.co.uk, reputable news site over in England.
Yeah, we were a little leery of the Shanghai Times or whatever the link was that was sent to us, so we Googled it and found a reputable news source to bring you this breaking news about an eel in a man's anus.
Yes, a factory worker from Southeast China
beaten
put a 1/2-meter-long eel into his anus in a bid to cure his constipation problem.
So he did this by himself?
All alone. He was 49 years old. He was rushed to the local hospital after claiming he had a stomach ache. You think? So he goes into the doctor's office, and they were shocked when they found that this man had stuffed an Asian swamp eel that had traveled north all the way into his stomach.
So it didn't eat through the walls of his intestines. It just followed the doo-doo train all the way to the source.
Well, it did actually gnaw along some of the tunnel along the way. He visited the hospital claiming he had a constipation problem. Doctors diagnosed the man with bowel obstruction. They recommended that he stay at the hospital for further treatment. He refused and decided to resort to an ancient method of treating constipation by putting an eel into his butt to try and clear the blockage.
Ancient Chinese secret.
So his constipation was so bad that he went to the doctor. They offered treatment, and he said, no, I'm going to go home. I got this. Grabs an eel and inserts.
Just goes out in the backyard and finds an eel.
And inserts into anus. However, the eel caused major stomach ache, and he was rushed back to the hospital. They examined his area and found a hole in his abdominal canal. And they were shocked to find an eel in his intestines.
This eel is disgusting.
Yeah, they removed it. It was 1/2 meter long, which is a little over 1.5 feet. It weighed about 8 ounces. Yeah. And it had a head of 3 to 5 centimeters.
Yeah, they look like really overweight snakes.
Yeah. This is my favorite line. And I guess this is in there already. I don't know why. Why did they have to report this? They also found feces and food residue inside the body.
Ew, seriously?
So gross.
Well, isn't that in everybody's body at all times?
No, I think they were saying that...
like outside of where it should be?
I think they were saying that they found the eel's nest. That he just holed up in the guy's abdomen, just coiled up there, started listening to podcasts and eating chips and pooping in the guy's stomach.
Oh, they found the eel's poop and food residue.
Yes.
In the body. Ew. So he was just like living there.
Yeah. Nice warm, wet spot.
That made him more constipated.
He was a squatter.
Way better than the swamp. I got a Chinese guy now.
The surgeon at the hospital told reporters, isn't there some type of like, what's the HIPAA law agreement that you go to the doctor and it's supposed to be
doctor-client privilege, confidant? I think that's more of an attorney thing, isn't it?
I don't know, but why are there reporters? If I go to the doctor, I don't need reporters asking questions about what I inserted into that wonderful area.
I'm sure that the doctors started texting all their doctor buddies, and then one of the doctor buddies probably tipped off a reporter. Hey, there's a dude at the hospital with an eel in his butt.
The surgeon at the hospital told reporters that the patient didn't explain the cause of his stomach ache when he was admitted to the hospital. We asked Mr. Liu, when we spotted the eel in his stomach, he said the eel went into his anus by mistake.
The anus.
I've used that excuse before. But after the surgery, he told us that he actually voluntarily put the eel inside his anus himself. So he tried to lie about it. Don't understand why eel in there. He go in by mistake. Oh, Mr. Liu, are you telling us everything? Okay, I put eel in anus. I'm sorry.
What is that? So racist.
Is it racist?
It's an accent. We can do Irish accents and it's fine. Huh?
So he
it's an impression.
So he was swimming in the swamp and he felt something
he felt
enter.
The tender love of an eel.
At least it wasn't electric.
That might have actually solved the problem. He also added that the situation could have been much worse had he waited to come to the hospital. Liu explained to the doctor that he used the eel to treat his symptoms instead of staying in the hospital. But here's the sad part.
The eel's dead.
The eel was found dead when the doctors took it out, but it's unsure whether or not the eel was alive when Liu put it in.
Didn't he die?
Well, certainly it was if it moved all the way up his colon and into his abdominal cavity.
Duodenum.
I don't think that's how you say it.
I always heard duodenum, but that's wrong.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's duodenum.
I think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Correct me on this. Liu is now recovering in the hospital.
I'm surprised he's not dead.
He's very lucky. So
yes, he can go back to his Chinese factory job of making Shopkins.
And iPhone circuit boards. So that is the orphanage lesson to all you kids out there. If you can't poop, tell your mom. Don't stick an eel in your ass.
Mm-hmm. And do not jar. Or if you do jar, let the eel eat that poop instead of the poop that's inside you.
Yes, and tell a friend about the ticket.
And stay tuned for hints. The Orphanage, award-winning background noise.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So
don't stop.
Yeah!
Yeah!
I feel alive!
I got an eel in my butt!
I'm a racist.
It's 11:38 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. The Ticket. This is The Orphanage. One time only. So tune in next week for more Not a Podcast.
It's pronounced Dewey Denim. Dewey Denim.
Right? I don't trust your...
There's no way that's a word.
Damn pronunciation thing. Dewey Denim.
Are there speakers?
No.
What site are you on?
I don't know. Internet?
No, what...
It's just okay. A Google search. Dewey right. Denim.
Hold on.
All right, we're going to figure out how to pronounce this word.
How do you spell it?
D-U-O-D-E-N-U-M. My science teacher when I was in high school called it duodenum. And I know that's not right. It's Dewey Denim.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I closed Queen so I can do this.
Hold duodenum.
On. Dewey Denim.
Duodenum.
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 Die.
That's the
duodenum.
That's
spell
the
it.
Tube that hooks up your stomach to your small intestine. Dave Wilson, in case you were wondering.
It leads to the jejunum.
Yeah, I'm sure you're crushing that pronunciation.
Let's look that one up.
It's J E J U N U M. Jejunum.
Jejunum.
Jejunum, I got it right.
You are crushing anatomy today.
Yeah.
All right, so everyone, listen to Bad Motor Finger and learn about all the stages of your intestines.
Yes.
Today. But right now, it's time for hints.
She's got hints nobody else would know. Hints nobody ever sees. Eloise.
Great song.
No, right? What can I do?
Wish I could remember the P1.
He did it.
He hates me because I never remember his name.
For pound, one of the best theme songs on the station. Am I wrong?
You are correct.
Yes.
And yes, Orphanage P1s.
Like it or not.
It's the time that you have been waiting for 2 whole years. The return of Hints. It's a column to help you with your life. It is ripped and read from the Dallas Morning News, as well as the internet from that notorious fake news site, The Washington Post.
They need to do their research.
And they need to quit C-blocking me with a paywall notification.
Whoa, WPose paywalling you?
Well, I have a couple of windows that I was able to somehow skirt the paywall, but some others not so fortunate. But let's start with the morning news. This is a test. Heloise is testing us. Question, is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
A tomato?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a quiz for me?
Yes, you are only person I'm talking to
right now. I
would
consider it a vegetable.
Well, you are wrong. Actually, no, you're right. It is a vegetable. I was so ready to crush you, but no, you're right.
It's always in the vegetable aisle. And it's in a V8.
Heloise says the Supreme Court decided in a feud over tariffs long ago that it was a vegetable because it was served with the main course of dinner. Today, we use tomatoes as appetizers and in salads and desserts. Never refrigerate tomatoes. Store at room temperature, stem side down after they are picked. And don't let them sit in the sunlight. Did you know that we use them in salads?
I had no idea. There's tomatoes in salads?
Yeah.
Wow.
Lorraine.
Hey, real quick. I'll refrigerate a tomato. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
They last longer.
They last longer.
I mean, if you buy like 3 tomatoes, you're not going to eat them all at once. You cut up one and put the other 2 in the fridge,
every,
right?
Every time I buy tomatoes, you know, if you buy them like on the stem, you know, there's like 3 in a little bunch.
A cluster?
Don't say cluster. It brings back too many memories. Boy, that'd be bad if it was a tomato cluster.
God. you might have to resort to the eel.
Yeah.
To fix your problem. Anyway, carry on.
I wonder if that's an ancient Chinese secret, too. Yeah, if I buy a cluster of tomatoes, I inevitably throw two-thirds of them away. They go bad in the fridge. Because I'm terrible. I never make foods.
You know, I thought you were a big cooker. I thought you liked the cooking.
You know what? I've started doing the meal delivery thing.
Which one are you doing? Blue Apron or Freshly? Or not Freshly, God almighty, Freshly's already pre-made.
Yeah, no, I've done,
Hello Fresh.
We've experimented with several.
Hello Fresh is my jam. I like that one. Have you done that one?
No, I've not done Hello Fresh.
It may be the tastiest out of all of them.
We've done four of them. Blue Apron was okay.
So you do the introductory offer and then cancel and then move to another one?
We've been, like, alternating.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a pain in the ass because you have to skip a box from this one this week, and you know you have to map out your calendar so you're not inundated with boxes of food that will rot. But Blue Apron's okay. Plated is pretty good. A smaller one that was recommended to me that we did not like was called Sunbasket, and then the one that we're on right now is Home Chef. Home Chef is pretty good.
You need to do Hello Fresh.
Okay.
That's number one.
That'll be next on the list.
Okay.
Speaking of food, Lorraine via email writes, Dear Heloise, we just brought home Teddy, our first puppy. Our children want to share their food with him, but I wonder, is it all right to feed our adored new pet the same food we eat? When Teddy begs at the table, it's so hard to resist. Idiots. Heloise writes, No. Neither you nor your children should feed human food to your pooch. Vets say that human food contains many ingredients that can be difficult for a dog's system to digest and can cause intestinal or stomach problems, causing them to need to insert an eel in their anus. Also, there are certain foods that dogs should not be given, such as chocolate, grapes, onions, garlic, unripe fruit, or yeasty dough.
Or marijuana brownies. Right, Dave?
Right, Corby. Congratulations on your new pet, and be sure to buy quality dog food.
I think you made up part of that story.
Yeah, I did. I put the part about the eel in there. I think the quality dog food is important. You want to make sure that it's not a bunch of fillers.
Look, dogs weren't always domesticated. There's wild dogs that live out there and eat whatever they can find.
Yeah, but
so
you know,
you can't tell me that. I mean, if they're able to stay alive on the streets eating, you know, the worst crap in the world,
right?
You can't tell me that giving them a piece of chicken or a green bean from your plate is going to hurt them,
right?
Unless they're adapted to domesticated home life that their stomachs can't handle wild food.
Here's my dog policy. My dog. Human food policy. I will give, I have two dogs right now. Had three. Henry, rest in peace. But
I think Henry was a murder, and I want to investigate it.
Can't prove anything.
After all of the misery that damn dog put you through, he died prematurely.
He was put to sleep by the vet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Under my orders.
He was like 4 years old.
It was a hit.
You hated that dog.
So, here's my policy on feeding human food to dogs. I will feed them, you know, a piece of chicken, a piece of steak, like you said, a green bean or a piece of broccoli or something. But I will not give it to them anywhere near the table. I'll put it in their food bowl, or I will, you know, walk them out of the kitchen and make them sit and, you know, ask for it like a treat.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, just drop food on the floor and let them eat it. I was so disturbed. I went to dinner at a girlfriend's house one time, and after her dad finished his meal,
plate on the floor,
he just put his plate under his seat, and then the dog just came and cleaned it.
That is old school country, man.
I was just aghast. I was just like, this is just so wrong. I mean, I guess for some people that's what they do, but I don't accept it. I don't support it. Dear Heloise, writes Donna from Encino, California.
Donna, a hot name?
No.
Okay, just checking.
When I mail packages to my parents, I stuff the packages with my kids' homework papers as packing material. Mom and Dad are happy to see what the kids are working on, math papers, writing compositions, and art projects. The packing material is as fun as the package.
Yeah, but that's all fun and games until you start sending them homework that needs to be turned in, and then your kid fails second grade. That's your fault.
Or there's a bunch of C's and D's and F's.
The grandparents are really disappointed.
A bunch of red Sharpie all over the homework. Dorothy, not a hot name in Ohio, writes, Dear Heloise, one day I got out some screwdrivers and checked every drawer and every end table, every desk, everything I had to pull open. I was shocked to see how many screws were loose. I tightened every loose screw. I don't know why I was shocked to see loose screws, because in all the years we've had this furniture and cabinets, I've never checked them. Who would think of that?
Somebody that just snorted about six lines
awesome.
Of meth.
Right.
That's who thinks of things
well,
like that.
Well, they would probably take apart the furniture and then put it back together and tighten all the screws. She says, I noticed when our church had a rummage sale, some of the donated dressers had pulls missing, loose, or halfway falling off. It gave me the idea to check all my drawers, and I'm glad I did.
Have fun sleeping for 2 days.
Yeah, wait for the crash, Dorothy.
We gotta go, buddy.
All right, last one. This is from Elaine in Florida. Not a hot name. Dear Heloise, I sew a pocket inside lots of my jackets large enough to hold a bottle of water or a paperback book. This comes in handy when I have to wait in the doctor's office. I also sew a loop of material with a key ring attached inside my purse on a side seam. My keys have a small hook on them and a tiny flashlight. When not in use, they are attached to the key ring. I also put a loop with a key ring inside my shorts pocket. No lost keys.
Brilliant.
I think that's in our theme song. Right?
Yes. Well, no, I think it's
my keys found a new home.
Well, yeah, but it's a comb on a wall.
Oh.
Not a loop of fabric in your shorts. But that works, too. And that is hints.
You waited 2 years for
two
that,
whole
folks.
Years for that happy. Garbage.
Hope you're happy. All of you idiots that requested that. There it is.
Do we mix? We mix with Country Force next. Wow, fun.
My first love. Your every breath that I take. Your every step I make.
It's 11:58 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Thank you for letting us make love to your ears for the last 2 hours.
Gross. You into that? Are you proud of that?
You need to irrigate your ears every once in a while.
Man, I've gotten better about that since I had to go to the doctor a couple years back to have them cleaned out.
Yeah. Have you ever done the ear candle?
No, I don't believe in that.
It's a hoax.
Yep. Nope. You just have to irrigate them with solution.
With Greenman. But thank you. Yes, this has been 2 hours of the orphanage. And if you've been listening and you're wondering what the hell, where is not a podcast? We used to do this time slot before not a podcast.
For like 6.5 years.
When you were in diapers, young ticket listener.
Young heroin shooting millennial.
Yes. So go straight to hell. And I think they should be back next week. Machine.
If they don't OD.
Yes, Machine is part of the ticket traveling crew to Hangout Fest. In Gulf Shores, and everyone pray for Justin. He's not feeling well, so
he's got AIDS.
in his stump. He may have to amputate like 6 more inches of his stump to cut the AIDS out. Oh, so we'll hold a good thought for him. But yes, we...
this was fun. I'm glad this came together, bro.
Yes, we had a lovely, triumphant return. Mm-hmm. And see, absence makes the heart grow fonder because our ratings were terrible and no one gave a crap about us when we were on the air. And then we tweet out yesterday that we're coming back and we get like 500 likes and people are tweeting all their buddies like, oh my God, they're back. So, you know, maybe we'll do it again in 2 more years.
Yeah, and it's also that thing where, you know, when you think that it's greater than it actually was. So I'm sure that people are like, oh my God, I used to listen to The Orphanage, man, they're going to be back on. And then they listen to it. It's like, yeah, it was really never that good.
No.
But
they really got nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
Speaking of nothing, let's talk to Country Force.
God, that's not nice.
Jeez, Davey.
Hi, Ty.
Country Regal Force.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, I didn't...
Let me clarify something. Nobody during this 2 hours has said, hey, where's not a podcast?
Whoa.
That's mean.
Sounds bitter.
Shots fired. No, I'm just...
Right across the bow.
There's a brewing weekend war between not a podcast and Country Force.
No! I'm saying it from the fact that they have enjoyed your broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I understand how you're spinning your comment now.
Walk it back.
I, for the record, am a huge Orphanage P1.
Can they turn down the overheads out there?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Just the feedback is a little distracting.
Are you guys at a racetrack?
No. No, we're at Kemp High School.
Weird.
That's a weird
in
remote.
Kemp, Texas.
Are they having a student council car wash today or what?
It's field day. Field day.
What? This is the staging point. No, this is the staging point for the big thing at Edgewater at Cedar Creek Lake.
Oh, gotcha.
People can come here and sign up and say they're interested in looking at some lakefront property, and then they'll take them out and show them what's going on.
Yeah, okay, Edgewater sales representative will drive them out to take a look.
So Eli did not know the answer to this. Did they just, like, make a lake? Did they just set up a dam and start a lake from scratch?
I think most lakes in...
I know that most
of that size are man-made, right?
Well, pretty much every lake in Texas is man-made, but I'm just saying, did they just make this one? Is it a brand new lake?
I don't think so. Yeah, Cedar Creek Reservoir's been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm a huge fan of Cedar Creek Lake, but is this development on Cedar Creek Lake, or is it upriver or downriver, or what the hell? I want to know.
Well, see, if you come out, that's a question you can ask one of the representatives of Edgewater at Cedar Creek Lake. And
they're already out there. Why don't you ask?
They didn't even give you a copy sheet, did they?
No, they didn't.
I mean, we've got some bullet points here, but...
We've got all kinds of stuff, man. You've got a little faith in our program.
So, but you can't see the water from where you are?
No. No, it's down the road.
We can see the football stadium at Kemp High School is what we're staring at right now.
Hmm. So a lot of good you are.
I'm assuming that they are very nice dockable lakefront homes.
So there's going to be docking.
That can be
dockable.
Acres.
Dockable is the key word. That's the
dockable. Yes,
the phrase that pays.
Dave loves docking.
Yes,
you, buddy.
Yes, he does. Yes, big fan.
I hope Ty that I didn't hurt your feelings several weeks ago when I filled in on Cirque du Soroil. And I...
Oh, did you say something about me?
No, but I did make the proclamation that...
Did you claim that wrestling wasn't real?
Well, everyone knows that. But
no, it's not fake. It's predetermined.
It's fake.
I proclaimed that Eli is my current favorite ticker guy.
Ooh.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
And so I hope that
Where do
didn't...
I fall on that? Am I beneath Carlos Leal?
Well, he's right there. On the other side of the
I love Carlos. I'm just saying.
Man,
I'm just saying, where do I stack up?
Are you trying to offend everyone today,
yes,
Ty?
Yes, pretty much, I guess.
What are you going to talk about our ticket chick, Christina, next?
Not at all.
Blake, our engineer?
Not at all.
I'm not gonna talk trash about anyone. So
top 10 ticker guys, go.
I can't name 10.
Yeah. I don't think there are 10.
What makes Eli your favorite ticker guy?
I don't know. He has a nice timbre to his voice. He's very polished and professional. He's a little bit country, which I like.
Rock and roll.
And he's just solid. He's good.
Interesting. Well,
he's underutilized. And I do I do like you when you don't participate in the show. Danny told me to say that.
I did not tell you to say anything.
No, Ty, I think
I've heard that before.
Ty, I think you're great too. I think we have a ton of good ticker guys. I really do, except for TC.
There is a wealth of ticker of talent in the ticker booths, no doubt. Ty's my number one favorite, maybe of all time.
TC is basically me reincarnated.
No, see, I was going to say, we do have openings for part-time ticker guys. You said you were out of work.
Yeah, come okay. on back. All right, I'll come in for an interview.
Talk about Julius Call Irving's Sean. Kids' pee-pee.
Yeah.
Remember when you did that?
I did.
Everybody laughed?
Yes, it's true. I did.
Those were good times, weren't they?
Yeah.
You had that haircut that was all one length?
Mm-hmm, the Prince Valiant.
And you wore that Michigan cap all the
that
time?
That was before all of my midlife crises. That's when life
back
was
when
promising.
Had, oh, we had so much fun back then.
That's before I knew what a cruel, cruel world this really was. Do we have to go?
Dave, everything's going to be fine, buddy.
I know.
We have to go.
I don't want to be late. I don't want to get Mix's band again.
Quickly, before we tell you what's on the show, I wanted to say both of you guys did a great job with the Cornell segment earlier, and then Danny, you and Corby with their Chris Cornell segment the other day. I thought it was outstanding.
Awesome.
Job
well, this. You know, it's easy to talk about things that you're familiar with and were a part of your life. So that was actually really fun.
Yes.
Sad, but fun.
So I'm gonna listen to Country Force, and then I'm going to listen to Bad Motorfinger, and then I'm going to study the human intestines, and then I'm going to snake the belt.
That sounds like a pretty full Saturday.
What an afternoon.
That is a full day.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe I'll snake the intestines.
Snake the eel. That's what you need to do.
All right.
We all have fun.
Yeah, what's on the show? All right. Quickly. Besides lakefront property.
Sports!
Okay.
We're going to talk women's
sports.
We're going to talk women's wrestling. Sports.
Oh, God. I'm not listening.
I'm going to snake the belt first.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus station.